Amen. It's good to see you today. Got some new faces. It's great to see you. Trust that you're feeling the presence of the Lord. Trust that the Lord will speak to you today as we go before Him. The Lord, you know, normally I preach through a book, and so I haven't done that for about a month. I've been just going with what the Lord has placing on my heart through this Christmas season. And so I heard the voice of the Holy Spirit say today, or say this week, position yourself. Those are two words that He gave me. And with those two words, I knew the story that He was taking me to. And so I'm going today to 2 Chronicles chapter 20. We're going to talk about Jehoshaphat. He's the king of Judah. Jehoshaphat. Well, I titled this sermon, The Battle Belongs to the Lord. And so listen to me closely for just a second. I am not prophesying battles, gloom, doom, or despair in 2025. But the Word of God prophesies battles. Right? John 16:33, in this life you'll have tribulation. That's what He says. In this life. It's not all rosy, is it? But He doesn't end there. He said, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Amen. So what I want us to focus on today is getting in the right position so that the Lord can move through us and to us. All right. So are you in 2 Chronicles chapter 20? We're going to skip verse 1 and go straight to verse 2. It says, then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria. And they are in Hazan Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared. You might want to underline that. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all of Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God, our fathers, are you not the God in heaven? And do you not rule over the kingdoms of the nation? And in your hand is there not power and might so that no one is able to withstand you? Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before the people of Israel and give it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend, forever? And they dwell in it and have built you a sanctuary in it for your name, saying, if a disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this temple. And we'll cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. And now here are the people from Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, and whom you would not let Israel invade when he came out from the land of Egypt. But they turned from them, and they did not destroy them. Here they are, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you have given us to inherit. Our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us, nor do we know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. In the heat of the battle, when the world wants to turn your head in so many directions, you remember these words, but our eyes upon you. Now all Judah with their little ones, their wives, their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of a bunch of other people, in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat. Thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God. Tomorrow go down against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. And you'll not need to fight in this battle. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, who is with you, O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites, the children of the Kohathites, the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. So they rose early in the morning and went into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you will prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and you who should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Father God, we just come before you today. Lord, I'm so grateful that you included this powerful story in the Word. Lord, not just as a history lesson, but Lord, you included this to build our faith. God, that we don't face any battle in this life by ourselves. Oh, the devil wants us to believe that we are totally alone, that we have to figure everything out. But I'm so thankful that we can place our eyes upon you, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and watch him fight our battles. God, I pray, Lord Jesus, take the word off of this page and make it alive for us today, God. Only you know what holds in 2025. But Lord, we know that we can conquer anything that comes against us with your help. So Father, empower us today as we position ourselves to receive the blessing of God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Folks, if you don't understand the trauma of this story, it will not bring any emotion to you. But if you understand what is happening to these people, you will get into their shoes and into their hearts just a little bit, and you'll recognize how they understood this is our annihilation day. This is the day when Judah will be wiped off the map without the help of God. We cannot stand in this battle. They are greater than us. They're stronger than us. They will overcome. They're going to conquer us. They're going to annihilate us. Bible says that Jehoshaphat feared. You know, a lot of times we preach about fear, don't we? And the Bible says, I think 365 times, do not be afraid. But I'm going to tell you, if you got half a brain, there's times when you're going to get a little scared. You're going to get nervous about some things because the battle is looming and it's bigger than you are. And so we have to figure out, how do I face this giant battle that's coming my way when I feel so small? And the thing that King Jehoshaphat knew he couldn't do it in his own power. It says, so Jehoshaphat feared. That was the normal man's response, is to fear what is going on. Let me just say this though. Panic and despair does not help you when you get bad news. That is our natural tendency, to go into this panic, to go into anxiety, to get scared. But that doesn't help you one iota. I mean, it just doesn't accomplish anything except make a wreck out of you. But if you'll use that to be the catapult that will take you to prayer. He says he feared, so he called the people to prayer. And as they prayed, God answered. Hallelujah. It says that he said, "Set yourself to seek the Lord." We talked about this in Sunday school just a moment, and someone said, what is the difference between prayer and seeking the Lord? Intensity. I think most of us are people of prayer, and our prayer oftentimes seems like a laundry list. God, I've got 25 things that you need to do for me today. That's what our prayer, but that's not seeking the Lord. That's totally different. See, when you seek the Lord, you come into His presence and you have this attitude, this intensity that says, now I'm not leaving until I hear the answer of the Lord. There's a determination, and I'm telling you, I thought Eric was going to preach Eric's sermon today. He talked about intentionality. I could say position yourself or align yourself or be intentional. I find that Christians are not intentional. We're haphazard. We just sort of wander through life, and if God wants to touch me, He'll touch me. Not so, my brother, sister. I'm telling you, we need to set our hearts to seek God. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7, ask and it will be given. Seek and you'll find. Knock and the door will be open. But who is the pressure on? The pressure's not on Him. The pressure's on us. I mean, what I'm hearing, if you don't ask, I'm not answering. If you don't seek me, then you're not going to find me. Life has a way of getting intense once in a while. Let's just, with a show of hands, how many oftentimes, let's just say it that way, oftentimes feel overwhelmed by life? It's almost universal. It's almost universal. It gets overwhelming. And fear don't help. And anxiety doesn't help. Panic doesn't help. But He does. Psalms 34:10 says, the young lions lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Hear the word of the Lord. Those that seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Isaiah 55:6 says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He's near. Expect to hear direction from God with clarity. Jehoshaphat, it said, received a word from the Lord. He received a word from the Lord. Pastor, you believe that the Lord still speaks? Yes, He does. You hear this? You see this? God's got a word for you. But you're going to have to find it. Those people that play this game, Lord, you got a word for me? Oh, okay, right here it is. But now that's funny. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it will be opened to you. There is no marker there. That's... okay, Jesus, I repent. Hail Mary, full of grace. Anybody else want to preach this sermon? In the book of Judges, there was a guy that God saw hiding, and He said, oh, mighty man of valor. And the little guy said, you talking to me? I'm not a mighty man of valor. I'm a little guy from a little tribe. And that's not the way God saw him. Do you understand oftentimes God sees you different than you see yourself? God may see a mighty man or a mighty woman in you, but you don't have the eyes to see it yet. But God called Gideon out. I want to also tell you, God's math doesn't make sense sometimes. So this is another battle when the children of Israel again under a crisis, and there's a battle. There's an army coming with 120,000 people, and they've been given word. 120,000 people are coming to fight you, Israel. And so God calls Gideon. He says, okay, Gideon, get you an army together. Gideon got 32,000 people to fight 120,000. And God says, oh, that's too many. Yeah, that's 4-1 odds, folks. He said, that's too many. He said, just ask everybody that's nervous and fearful to go on home. 22,000 of His soldiers left that day. He's left with 10,000 people. And I don't know how your mind works, But my mind says, what's wrong with those 10,000 people? They're not afraid of fighting. Now it's 12-1. And God says, your army's still too big. He says, see, if you go out there with 10,000 people, you're going to take the glory for this. And he says, go down to the river and tell them to get a drink. And you, I don't remember exactly. He said, if they lap like a dog or if they put their face in there, whatever, you send the ones that do this home and you save the others. 300 men are left. 300 against 120,000. And then he gives Gideon this bright instruction. He said, now give them a lantern with a light in it and a trumpet. Where's my sword is what I want to know. I need a machine gun, Jesus. And he, so they go out and they encircle the camp of 120,000 soldiers. And at Gideon's command, they break the lantern, the pitcher that has the light in it. And they blow the trumpet. And the people get into so much chaos, they begin to kill themselves. And the children of Israel are just standing around watching this army devour themselves and kill themselves. Why? Because God was in it. God decided. But he told Jehoshaphat, he said, position yourself. You understand that Jesus in the New Testament in John chapter 10, I believe verse 6, Jesus said, I am the door. I'm the door. I'm the gateway to the power and the might of God. I am the gateway to everything that God has in store for you. It comes through the door of Jesus. That is such a great statement. But Jehoshaphat, he says, position yourself. Align yourself. Be intentional. For what? For whatever battle you're going to face, we need to get in the right position. You know, I find that as human beings, we typically take the exact wrong position for a spiritual battle. You see, when finances get tight, what does the average Christian do? They quit giving. But it's the opposite of what the Lord tells us. Whatever, you know, we tend to try to face spiritual battles physically. Well, just stand strong. Just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That doesn't even make sense. And we tend to focus on us. What are you going to do? What do you, let's read a self-help book. Let's get some help here. I tell you, the only help that we need is to position ourselves under the hand of the Almighty God. Get yourself ready. What's the position that we need to be in? First and foremost, God will not use you. God will not move in your life until you humble yourself before the Lord. So the first thing you need to do is say, God, I can't do this. I can't accomplish this battle. Without your help, I will fail. 100% of the time. So I humble myself and I call upon the name of the Lord, right? That's the first one. The second one is position yourself to seek him. It's not about worry. See, all the time that we spent fretting and worrying and thinking, don't we do this? We think, well, if this enemy does this, then I need to do this. If my electric bill is over $300, then I need to, come on. What you need to do is quit trying to figure everything out in life. And say, Jesus, I need your help. But I'm going to tell you what I'm not going to do. When my finances is tight, I'm not going to stop giving. When it seems like everybody's writing me letters. People write letters in this church. When it seems like everybody's writing me a letter, I'm not going to stop loving. That's what you want to do. You want to pull your heart back. You want to take a step back and say, man, if they're just going to abuse you, why keep putting your heart out there? You keep putting it out there. You want friends, show yourself friendly. Wherever there's a need, start sowing into that need. And God will bless you. Cast your bread upon the water and it will come back to you, he says. So he says, position yourself. We're not positioning ourselves for a fight. We're positioning ourselves to hear God in the battle. See, we seem to have three choices. We could surrender to our circumstances. Anybody ever done that? Oh, Jesus, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. I'm going to bed. Anybody done that? You know what? I'm just going to bed. Surrender to our circumstances doesn't help you. Number two, we fight in our own strength. I'm going to figure this thing out. And then number three, we trust in God. That's the right answer. Psalms 34, verses 3 through 6 says this, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and they were radiant and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man," I love that. It doesn't say that poor man, it says this poor man. So when you read this out loud, it's like you're saying it about you, this poor man. That isn't that good? Yeah, I'm so excited about this. I'm glad you are. "This poor man cried out and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." As we position ourselves in humility, 2 Corinthians 10 says, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war against the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, they're not mental, but they're mighty in God through the pulling down of strongholds." We're not playing a chess game. We're not trying to figure out the devil's next move. We are trusting God that no matter what he does, we win. He brings about the victory. We stand and we stand still and learn. That's the word that he said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, because this battle is not ours. It looks like ours. It looks like this is all about us, but in truth, it's the Lord's battle. What if I told you that from a word of the Lord today? If I said the battle that you're going through right now, the Lord says it's not yours, it's his. Would that bring relief? For those of you that are awake, it should. It should. And the truth of the matter is, God's with you. You remember last week what I told you when I was praying for that man whose son had just passed away. And Roy and I happened to be there. And we went back to this guy's room. And we had the opportunity to pray for him. I had the intelligence to ask Roy to pray. Best thing that I did. I said, "Roy, you pray." And he prayed. And he said this. And these words marked my life. He said, "Lord, we know that what you do not deliver us from, you will walk with us through it." Amen. That man was going through that, probably a 90-year-old man. His 50-something-year-old son just passed away that night like that. The Lord didn't deliver him from it, but the Lord will walk with him through it. You know, there's many people in this church right now going through cancer. And I pray all the time, "Lord, just heal them. Just heal them." So I believe God does that. I believe God can. God's a supernatural God. I've seen God do supernatural things. But God has not chosen to heal them by his divine hand instantaneously. So what happens? He walks with them through it. And they are more than conquerors through Christ. The same thing's going to happen to you, folks. You're going to go through some things in 2025 that you may think is going to defeat you, but it won't. You hear me? It won't. You're going to have trouble. That's the Bible. You're going to have trouble. Any Christian, any preacher that tells you serve Jesus and all your problems go away, they're just a liar. And they're probably the next big thing they're going to do is take an offering. Don't trust that either. Don't allow fear to form and dominate your mind. In the Old Testament, we have a story of the three Hebrew children. And the king Nebuchadnezzar built this big old idol and said, everybody's got to bow, the whole kingdom. He brings the whole kingdom, says everybody's got to bow to this idol. And all across the land, they're bowing as the music is played. But there's three guys out there that will not bow to that idol because they were raised Jewish. And the word of God says, have no other gods before you. Right? You are not to worship any other god. And the king eventually brings them up and says, I'm going to give you one more chance because maybe you didn't understand my instruction. And they said, oh, King Kelleher rendition, we don't mean to be disrespectful in any way to you, but not now nor ever will we bow to that idol. And our God is able to deliver us from this. But if he chooses not to, we're still not bowing. Did you get that, faith? I don't care what the circumstances are. Whether he delivers us or whether we die in that fire, we're not bowing to the ways of this world. Oh, for men and women of God that would say that to themselves, I'm not bowing to peer pressure anymore. I don't care what my work does. I worked for a company one time right here in Paris, in Murray, and they were just perverts. I mean, they were just, you go to a Christmas party and it was all sexual stuff. I mean, it was just perverted. And so they asked me the next year, are you coming to the Christmas party? I said, I don't think so. And the lady was really sweet. I just loved her. And she said, why not? And I said, I don't want to subject my wife to that perverseness. You know, that it's just a spirit of perverseness. It was, I didn't realize it was her husband that put it all together. They changed the whole party. This is a company that was in three different locations, hundreds of employees. They changed everything about the Christmas party because one person said, I'm not coming to that. Amen. Amen. Oh my, what if we had a church that would say, I'm not supporting a school that puts pornography in the libraries. Yes. Right? I'm not supporting a government that will prostitute children. Don't you be surprised when this all comes to light and you find the government had its hand in it. Oh, yes. I'm telling you, I believe the Lord is looking for people that will stand up against the tide of society and will walk true to the Word of God. So you see, the battle that we are facing is larger than any of us can imagine. But it's not a battle of sickness. It's a battle of culture. The world is putting pressure on the church to bend their beliefs. We're okay with you being Christian. Just stay in your church. Well, God has not called us to stay in a building. God has called us to defeat the works of the devil because that's what he did. So that means when you make a decision on the city council that goes against Christians, you're going to hear the voice of a couple of churches in this town. Bless God, maybe just my voice, I don't know. You're worrying me just a little bit. Position ourselves. There was a man named Jairus in the New Testament. He was a ruler of the synagogue. In other words, he was a high fluter. Somebody of importance, but his daughter was laying sick. And it's amazing when your kids are sick, you will get humble in a heartbeat, won't you? And so even though the synagogue was against Jesus, this synagogue leader came to Jesus because his baby was sick at point of death. And he says, Jesus, will you come to my house and lay your hands on my daughter? Because I know if you do, she'll be healed. And Jesus said, I'll come. And so they're headed to Jairus' house. And along the way, there's a little lady that stops the traffic because she's crawling through the best she can to touch the hem of his garment. Because she believes that if I can just touch the hem of his garment, doesn't make any sense to us, but it does to people that knew their Old Testament. Because the Bible says in their wings will be healing. We knew that they would anoint the high priest. They would anoint his head and the oil. We put a little drop of oil on your forehead and we do this, right? When they anointed, they took a horn of oil and they would, and they'd pour a quart of oil over you. And the oil would come down the head, come down the beard, and would hit the linen undergarment. And it would flow down to the hem. And the oil, which represents the anointing, would get down in the hem of the garment. And that woman who had an issue of blood, a hemorrhage, a blood hemorrhage for 12 years, spent everything she had trying to get it fixed. She thought, if I can just touch that oily hem, I'll be made whole. Now, she should not have been in public. She should not, people should not have been touching her. But she's fighting through the crowd in this very frail shape of a woman trying to get to Jesus. And when she touches him, he stops. He says, who touched me? Which meant nothing to the disciples. They're like, what are you talking about? We're being touched on every side and we're walking in a crowd, rubbing shoulders and knocking hips, right? We're just touching you, everyone. He said, no, I'm not talking about that kind of touch. I felt virtue come out of my body. Mm-mm-mm. I felt the healing power of God flow from me. Now see, I believe, now you don't have to believe with me, but I believe because I am his, that can happen to me. That the healing virtue of God, when I lay my hands on people, can flow through me and touch somebody else and heal their body. It ain't me. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not a healer. I didn't say that. Don't leave this saying, oh, that pastor out there thinks he can do miracles. No, I don't. There's nothing special about me. There's everything special about him. And all I am is a conduit. She was healed just like that. At that same time that she's celebrating this healing, a man comes forth and looks at Jairus and says, don't bother the master anymore. Your daughter's dead. Jesus looks at Jairus and says, just believe. Just believe. Jairus, keep your faith. Oh, come on now. There's just some of you right now. I feel like I should just say, you just believe. You keep your eyes on Christ. You just believe. This may be a hell moment for you. Anybody know what I mean by that? A hell moment? It's when all hell breaks loose on you and you don't see any possible way that God can break through. I promise you, just believe.
That's right.
Just believe that God knows where you're at and God can get your healing. He can get your touch to you. So they make it to Jairus' house. The daughter's already dead in the house. The mourners are all through the house and the yard. They hired mourners. And Jesus looked at them and says, you guys get on out of here. You're not needed. They laughed him to scorn. She's not dead. She's just sleeping. And you're an idiot, sir. That's what they thought. Get out of here. I love how Jesus, we all see this kind, meek, mild Jesus. And when he picks up a whip or tells people to get out of the house, you stinking faith, get your stinking faith out of this house. We don't like that Jesus. That Jesus confuses us. I wish we had some Christians that had enough backbone that would tell the devil to take a hike. Maybe we'd see the power of God. He goes in the house and he heals the little girl. She gets up. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God, and I will strengthen you, I'll help you, and I'll uphold you with my righteous right hand." Jehoshaphat, getting back to our story, he told him, "Position yourself." They got a word of the Lord. This is what's going to happen. What's he do? He sends out the worship team. I think that's pretty wise. What do you do when all hell is breaking loose? I send out my wife. Go on, baby. Conquer the battle. Get on out there. When I'm so nervous about my sermon, I don't know what I'm going to say. I'm like, come on, Treva. Bring the fire down. Do something. I need to hear a word from the Lord. Let's worship, folks. It's actually incredibly wise. Worship like you already have the victory. Worship like you're already healed. Worship like you don't have a financial problem one. Worship like all your kids are already saved. Psalms 34, 7 and 8. The angels of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. You know, it's entirely possible that not all of Israel was with Jehoshaphat. They might have been thinking, does he really know what he's doing? Jehoshaphat really wasn't that bright, in my opinion. He did some bonehead things in the Old Testament. I mean, when the king of Israel said, hey, what? He knew the army was coming against the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said, hey, why don't you wear my headdress? And Jehoshaphat said, okay, I'll do that. I mean, just some of the things he did wasn't that bright. And some of the people may have said, I don't know if I can trust him. What if he's wrong? What if that prophet missed it? What if we're going out here thinking that the battle belongs to the Lord and they're going to wipe us out? Come on, the devil's the same. He plants those doubts. What if you trust God and he doesn't answer? You get yourself out there on that limb and he forgets your name. I promise you, he won't. He does not fail. Jehoshaphat says, believe. Believe in the Lord. Believe in his goodness. Believe in his power. Believe that he is with us today. Believe that the word that he's spoken, he will accomplish it. Believe. It's exactly the same thing the New Testament tells us to do. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believe in the power of the resurrection. Believe that because he came out of that grave, you live also. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 27 says, for the Lord made them rejoice over their enemies. He did exactly what he said he was going to do. They didn't fight at all. The people turned on each other and began to kill each other. The Bible says that it took them 3 days to pick up the spoil from all those soldiers. And they didn't do a thing. The battle belonged to the Lord. What if what you're going through belongs to the Lord, not you? Right? Are you following me? What if the Lord says, I'm not going to deliver you, but I'll walk with you. I'll be there. Position yourself. I heard this so clearly in my spirit. If I could speak a word to you, it's this. Position yourself in 2025 to see the hand of God move like you've never seen it before. You hear me? Time is short. It's getting shorter. as Tony says, dark getting darker. This world's getting dark. And we're going to see some powerful move of God, I believe, in 2025. But it's going to come from us positioning ourselves to seek Him. Seek the Lord. So instead of turning and fretting, I don't know about you, that's my natural thing, is to fret. Instead of getting nervous and fretting, seek the Lord. Jesus, I can't do one thing about this, but I trust you. Get me through this, Father. Corrie Ten Boom said, there is no pit so deep that God's love does not go deeper still. Isn't that powerful? There is no pit so deep. In Sunday school class, we talked about the stupid years. Most people go through their stupid years 16 to 22. Something like that. Some of you have made an art of it. And you're 45 years old and you're still stupid. It's time you come out of your stupid years and begin to trust God. Does that make sense to you? I'm not being insulting. I'm really being truthful. I'm really saying it's stupid to trust the flesh when we have the option of trusting Him. Let's trust God. You want to see a great year? Trust God. Would you stand with me? I encourage you next week to come to the dedication of the new sanctuary. I believe God's going to be there powerful. I've been thinking a whole lot about 2 Chronicles 7, where he says, you know, if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I'll heal your land. Do you know what that's given after? Solomon is dedicating the temple of the Lord, and he makes this long prayer, and that was God's answer for his prayer. If my people, oh, that's a big word it starts with, if. What will 2025 look for you? If you will turn to the Lord, turn from your wicked ways, seek His face. God will do amazing things in your life next year. And you will accomplish much because of Him. Would you bow your head? If there's people here today that has never surrendered their heart to Christ, it's not been a salvation sermon, but every sermon is a salvation sermon. Every sermon should give people the ability and the time to say, I need to be born again. So if you're saying, man, I need to repent, I need to ask Jesus into my heart, would you just raise your hand? We want to pray with you. I won't bring you up front. I won't point you out in any way, but I want to give you time to pray. Just with a raised hand, say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to surrender my heart and life to Christ. All right, let's pray. Father God, I come before you right now on behalf of this church, God. Lord, on behalf that we know that battles are coming. It's very, very possible. We know, Lord, even right now, there are people in the midst of battles. And Lord, I heard you say to position ourselves. God, we need, as the old people would say, you need to get under the spout where the glory comes out. God, so we're moving towards you, God. We're not backing up. We're moving towards you. Today, we take a step of faith towards the presence of God. And I pray, Lord Jesus, show yourself strong. God, as we approach the throne of grace, Lord, there may be people that they're not ready to surrender to you, but Lord, there are people here, Lord, possibly that says, you know, I know you, but we are distant. Well, there is a distance in our relationship. God, I pray today that people would make a desire, be intentional about shortening the distance between them and the Father today. God, I pray, Lord, as we repent of allowing circumstances and society to crowd you out. God, I ask, Lord, right now that you would show yourself mighty and intimate in each one of our hearts. As we say, Jesus, we need more of you, more than we've ever had before. I pray right now, let the Holy Spirit bring your presence right into our heart and into our mind. Father, be with us, strong and mighty, as we go through another year waiting on the return of the Messiah. Father, I'm so grateful for your power and your presence. Lay your hand upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't think Denny's here. Dale, will you end us in the blessing and make any announcement that you have left?
All right. Just don't forget, after everybody clears out, if we can have a couple people help to get the chairs moved, that would be fantastic. So if you would, raise your hand and receive the Lord's blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Now go in peace and serve the Lord. Amen.